This is the John Clayton Show.
Brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
866-975-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Joining us right now, Greg Bill from the Tacoma News Tribune. Could it get any busier yesterday with all the news that was happening in the National Football League, Seattle and Cleveland and everything else? Greg, it was incredible yesterday.
Yeah, it's just the season, right, John? Right before free agency, and now you have this legal tampering period and trades that teams want to make to clear up cap space before all that starts next week. So, yeah, it was. And Richard Sherman, from what I understand, really wanted to accelerate the Seahawks' decision. Once the Seahawks decided they didn't want to pay him his $11 million in salary, Sherman wanted released sooner than later so he could do exactly what he's doing now and meeting with teams and shopping. And now that's going on around the league. And I see Danny Shelton traded him to the New England Patriots this morning for yet another move with the Cleveland Browns. So, yeah, that's part of the time of the year, isn't it?
It really is. It's just amazing. So let's kind of go over the fact how quickly he got down to San Francisco and meeting with Kyle Shanahan, dinner with Kyle Shanahan, I'm sure, getting together with John Lynch. I mean, can you see him going to San Fran?
I didn't know Concord Jets run Seattle to San Francisco that quickly. Seems like he was down there in an hour. I could see it because of the cap space that they have, the quarterback that they now have in place, and the fact that they can be a contending team in the division. But when you have $60-plus million after signing your quarterback to a record deal, you have money to spend that Sherman will listen to. And I think the 49ers will be a contender in a division that Sherman would want rather than a rebuilding. They're certainly better off than they were a year ago and more attractive to a guy like Sherman. He certainly knows them, and they know him. That might be pretty galling to some Seahawks fans. It might be a little better than him going to the Patriots, who I think is also still an option.
Mm-hmm. No question. Because my read on, because knowing him, I mean, he's going to be thinking Super Bowl. So the first thing he's to do is judge the quarterback, because the quarterback's the thing that gets you to the Super Bowl, and he knows that. That's why I can see him definitely looking at a place like the Green Bay Packers and New England and even Dallas, because I think he can respect Dak Prescott.
I totally agree. I think the first thing he's looking at is quarterback, and then he's looking at cap space. This sets up, whether it's San Francisco or New England or Green Bay or Dallas, or I know he's told people that he's had preliminary contact with the Titans and the Lions and the Buccaneers. Those don't seem to be as good a fit because of the quarterback situation. But it sets up well for him to have a one-year prove-it deal, which he would want, a guy who loves to have a chip on his shoulder anyway, and then get a multi-year, one more shot at a multi-year free agent contract this time next year, when he's turning 31, his final big payday with bonuses and all that. I think this sets up well for him. He's certainly going to come, I think, because of his pedigree. Yes, he's 30. Yes, he's coming off two ankle surgeries. But because of what he's done, a three-time All-Pro, a Super Bowl champion, a guy who was the preeminent guy at his position for years and years, and the fact that the cornerback position, as you know, John, is such a premium. It's the second hardest position in sports behind quarterback, that he's going to command close to, maybe not $11 million, but he's going to recoup a lot of that money the Seahawks wouldn't give him for this year.
Mm-hmm. How much do you think they wanted to take his pay down?
Maybe half. I've heard a few things from around the team about that, and that the fact that they said, well, if you don't get the offer you like, you can come back, and then that comeback offer would be in the $5 million range. I kind of chuckled at that as soon as he goes on the market, he's gone. Somebody's going to give him an offer that the Seahawks would not and cannot pay with their salary cap and needs in other places. Not to mention that the pride that Sherman has and the, as I mentioned, the chip on his shoulder, and just knowing him as I do, I don't think he's going to come back with his tail between his legs to Seattle and say, well, I didn't get the offer I want. Can we talk again? So that sounded all good yesterday, and that's what you say when you break up with someone you really love. And it was softening the blow a little bit, but I don't think it's realistic at all of Sherman not getting an offer he likes and then coming back to Seattle and trying to make it work again.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I just don't see that happening whatsoever. And so he's
not with that guy, right?
No. It's like, and that's why I think that he would even put a little extra mojo into the idea of going to a division rival.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that would be him.
If Arizona's still at Carson Palmer, he'd be talking to Arizona right now.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I don't know if he would go for A.J. McCarron. That may not be one move that I think he would go for. Because, you know, there's quarterbacks he's going to like, and there's not going to be quarterbacks he's not going to like, and he's not going to go to a team with a quarterback that he does not like. That's just not his nature.
And he's not going to go to the Rams after they just got Aqib Talib.
No, no.
Marcus Peters.
No opening there.
49ers. So, exactly.
But it's going to be fun to see how he all handles this because, again, it's going to be – I think that's going to be one of the more interesting things as far as watching how it goes. What was your thoughts on the Michael Bennett trade?
I was a little surprised they got anything for him. I thought if they wanted to get rid of him, they were going to have to cut him. The fact they got a player that they think they can use probably on special teams to start with in Marcus Johnson and a fifth-round pick, and you say, well, wait a minute, a three-time All-Pro, Super Bowl champ, pass rusher, 8.5-sack guy last year, commands only a fifth-round pick and a fourth wide receiver. Well, that's what how hard it is to trade 32-year-old guys in the NFL, no matter what they've done. So I was a little surprised they got something for him. Sure, on its face, that's not value. You should get more for a player of his stature. But in the situation he was in, I think the Seahawks made out by instead of just cutting them and getting their $2 million. Now, the little surprise to me of I know they were so up against the cap. $2 million at the time was 1/6 of their available cap space. But what do they have now at pass rusher? It's the only proven pass rusher they know guaranteed will be on the roster in 2018 right now is Frank Clark. And he's going into the last year of his contract. Deion Jordan is a restricted free agent. They're probably going to re-sign him or at least tender him an offer here in a couple weeks. But he's only played, what, 5 games in 3 years,
right,
as good as he was last year. He got hurt again. Brandon Jackson and Quentin Jefferson, and then you start talking to guys like that. The Malik McDowell pick in injury and the fact he's not even been on the field continues to haunt this team. They had planned on him being that kind of guy, a pass rusher guy moving up and down the line like Bennett. I remember when they drafted him last year, this time they talked about him playing alongside Bennett on passing situations inside. And now all of a sudden your cupboard is completely bare other than Frank Clark as a proven pass rusher. And that's something they have to address. And Pete Carroll loves to stockpile pass rushers, and I haven't seen it this bare in Seattle during his tenure on the defensive front.
No, I agree. That's why it's funny because even like 2 weeks ago, everybody was asking about what do you think they need to do more than anything else, and everybody says, "Oh, running back, offensive line." I said, "No, pass rushing, defensive end." I mean, that's where you could see where the shortage was going to be. And that's why it's going to be tough in this draft to be able to come up with something. I mean, if Key, one of the guys, that the second best guy, may be available at 18, but they also got to find ways to recoup what they don't have in the second and third rounds of the draft.
Exactly. I'm going to be very surprised if they hold on to the 18th overall pick and have not traded down to get a second or a third back. A guy like Marcus Davenport, the University of Texas San Antonio guy, very raw, athletic, the kind of player the Seahawks like. He showed so well at the combine last week when we were there, John, that I don't even know if he'd be available at 18, let alone if the Seahawks trade down. Pass rushers are such a commodity in the league, in a passing league right now, that they fly off the board if they show any kind of athleticism at all. And that's the kind of guy that Marcus Davenport is. So I'm with you that I think they're going to recoup picks and get more than the 8 they currently have. But then when you were trying to get a top flight pass rusher, can you get him in rounds 2 and 3? It's a deep draft for running backs and pass rushers. But the impact player in year 1, if you start trading out of the first round, it's a little bit dicier of a situation. Now, there's no doubt this team, John, I don't have to tell the listeners this, has to get better at drafting. And they got away with still staying in the playoffs for years with bad drafts. They're never going to be as good as those 2011-12 drafts, but they've got to get someone better, much better than they've been the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm. No, agreed. And, of course, the one problem is, when you're drafting on defense and you have a core group of 7 that are pretty much there gobbling up all the playing time, you're not going to get
right.
too many guys on the field.
That's what's happened in the secondary. I mean, they draft 4 of their first 8 picks last year in the secondary, and only Shaquille Griffin played. And so John Schneider was spending last week at the combine telling us, hey, we need to get to the point where Tedrick Thompson and Delano Hill and Mike Tyson can play, get out of the awe stage of teammates with Cam Chancellor, Earl Thomas, and Richard Sherman, and actually produce. Well, you didn't give him a chance to produce because you had Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas on the field last year. Well, now two of those 3 you're not going to have on the field this year, and that's why a guy like Delano Hill has to show. Is he a strong safety type that can play in the box and be a tackler? The guy out of Michigan that they've drafted to do just that. Tedrick Thompson is, they don't know if they wanted to do anything with Earl Thomas or if they wanted to let him play out his contract and leave at the end of the year. They don't know what Tedrick Thompson can do behind him, and they don't know what their answer would be. I think that this past week's events has increased the likelihood that Earl Thomas is going to get re-signed. I think some of the money they freed up may be toward talking to Earl Thomas. It's certainly going to be toward talking to Sheldon Richardson before free agency begins. And speaking of defensive line help they could use. And I think they're talking to Richardson to make it attractive of him playing more like he did against the Jets. Outside in some pass rushing situations, up and down the line, inside as well, being more versatile than just a straight three technique guy that they had him be last year. They had him be that because they had Frank Clark, Cliff Averill, and Michael Bennett at end. Well, now they don't have that. Two of those three guys are gone and probably, in Averill's case, never play again. So that could be part of the Seahawks selling and attraction, not only money, but to say, hey, we're going to turn you loose and let you be the athletic defensive end you were with the New York Jets until last September.
What's your thoughts on the running back situation with some of these guys that have been cut, like Jonathan Stewart and now DeMarco Murray? I'm sure Latavius Murray is going to be in that mix.
Well, I think they're going to look at all those guys because they're going to be in their price range, which is to say cheap. And they've learned their lesson from the Eddie Lacy signing last year. Now, part of the reason Lacy got the upfront guarantees of $2.8 plus million is that he was still in 26, 27 years old. Not the case with these guys. 30 for Stewart, 30-ish. I think Murray's a little younger than him. Frank Gore is like 72. Mm-hmm. But those guys are not going to command the guaranteed money that Eddie Lacy did. So they could get him at or near, I think, the veteran minimum with a bunch of incentives on playing time and yards in the case of Stewart. And the veteran minimum for Stewart is just $1.015 million. And if they can get a contract close to that for any of these guys, they're going to probably bring him in. I think they're still going to draft a running back. You know, they always sign undrafted free agent running backs, back to the Thomas Rawls type of moves. And they definitely have to restock who is running. They've yet to be able to count on C.J. Procise is going to be able to stay on the field, let alone contribute. And I know they can't go into the season with just Chris Carson and four NFL games experience and Mike Davis, who was on your practice squad for the first 10 weeks, as your first two options at running back and only two options.
Mm-hmm. No, that would be a little bit too much. I think that's going to be a big challenge there. So, yeah, I think that how aggressive do you think they're going to be at the beginning of free agency?
Probably not much. I mean, their MO is to get the second and third wave guys at cost. Now, last year they tried to get T.J. Lang right away, and they almost had him until his hometown Detroit Lions took the Pro Bowl guard away. Boy, he might help right now too, huh? Mm-hmm. And that's the type of big money derbies that they haven't usually won here the last few years because they've had the tighter salary cap and been a playoff team. Even though with these moves of freeing up $17.9 million, cutting Lane, sending off Sherman, and trading Bennett, that's still only giving them about $27 million as we stand right now, give or take, maybe close to 30. And then if Cliff Averill does retire, which I think will be the next big move for the Seahawks, that's $7.1 million more. Then you can start shopping, but maybe not for the top-tier guys. You could shop for one top-tier guy, right? But mm-hmm. They need more than one guy. They need pass rushers, as we just described, running backs, offensive linemen. They're going to sign a linebacker to back up Bobby Wagner and K.J. Wright. And who's going to play in Sherman's spot right now? Byron Maxwell is a free agent. They may re-sign him. It won't take much, but that's the position. It's going to take more than a veteran minimum to keep him. Bradley McDougal, you're probably going to have to make an offer to because he played so well for Cam Chancellor last year, and you don't know when Cam Chancellor's ever going to play again. And then we already mentioned the Sheldon Richardson situation. So they've got money to spend on their own guys before they go shopping with top-tier dudes, which is why I think it's going to be a second or third wave situation for the Seahawks in free agency.
Well, it's going to be a fascinating time. I mean, stay tuned. Every hour something may be going on.
That's about right.
Absolutely. Hey, Greg Bell, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome, John. Anytime.
Enjoy okay, Greg Bell, News Tribune. Of course, give us a call here at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com. Now, more John Clayton.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Jet. Jet, how are you?
Dr. John, how you doing today?
Doing well. What a fun time it's been now with free agency. Man, it's been crazy.
Oh, and it's just starting.
Mm-hmm.
It's just starting. But I think, well, let me ask you how you're reading the tea leaves from what happened yesterday regarding the AFC East, the Browns, and what the top of the draft is looking like. It seems like it got a little bit clearer yesterday.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt, because you knew that Cleveland was going to go for a veteran quarterback.
Yep.
They needed to get somebody to kind of be the bridge to the young quarterback they take, whether it's in the first pick or the fourth pick. So now what that does, instead of waiting for A.J. McCarron and, you know, paying him more than $10 million or more than like $15, $16 million, now they've got their quarterback and, you know, they can get out of the deal at any time. That's fine. So that's point number one. They were able to get a nice slot cornerback in Jarvis Landry. That was good. We'll see. Demarius Randall was being dumped anyways by Green Bay. So, you know, that wasn't that great of a move, but it didn't cost him much because all they had to do was give up DeShone Kizer and flip picks in the fifth and sixth rounds. So that a fourth and fifth round. So that's not too bad. And then, you know, today they were able to, you know, trade Danny Shelton to the New England Patriots and get a three for next year. So it's been fascinating to see what they're doing. As far as Buffalo, I mean, they leave themselves vulnerable, you know, vulnerable in the sense that they don't have a quarterback. And, you know, are they going to be high in the pecking list of where the quarterbacks can go? So I think they leave themselves vulnerable. In Miami, I don't think they know what they're doing. I mean, you know, how many more of their good players are they giving away? I mean, what, they gave away Jay Ajayi to Philadelphia for a fourth-round pick, and look how well he did in helping them win a Super Bowl. Then you watch, they trade. I mean, here's Jarvis. All Jarvis Landry has done is gone to three straight Pro Bowls and averaged 100 yards a catch, made 100 catches a season. They dump him for, a four? Come on.
Yeah. Well, once again, Mike Tannenbaum has made a mess of another team's salary mm-hmm. cap. For the salary cap guru that he supposedly is, he's done it twice now, two different teams. And that's part of the problem is they're pinched financially. You know, they're stuck with Donkey Kong Sue's contract, mm-hmm. and they can't afford to pay Landry. And so, I mean, they're hamstrung in that regard. But I fully agree in that there doesn't seem to be any cohesion with what the Dolphins are doing. It seems like it's all just knee-jerk reactions and what's – you know, what's on the table next?
Right.
There doesn't seem to be a plan.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of typical Mike Tannenbaum. And he's just kind of constantly trying to make a splash. So I'm laughing at that because I've seen that act before. But as far as I think, yeah, we definitely know that Cleveland's going after a quarterback either at one or four. So I don't think they're going to be.
I mean, you can see. I mean, the way it's going right now. With John Dorsey moving these picks and all that, it wouldn't surprise me that he goes to the Giants and say, okay, I'll give you one of my twos because he's got three number twos, and so that he could get Barkley and the quarterback of his choice. Because I think he either wants Sam Darnold or Josh Allen.
Yeah, I guess the big question is, have they fallen in love with any of them? But I think he's definitely still away up with both of them. The interesting question is going to be, and I think it'd be foolish for the Giants not to grab one,
mm-hmm.
but are the Giants going to take a quarterback at two?
I don't think they are. And maybe that's a wrong thing on their part. But I think that, you know, they want us to kind of stay with Eli. And they believe
nice.
Davis Webb might be okay.
Yeah, what are you going to do, get another 2 years out of him at best?
Yeah, he was terrible last year. He did not play well.
Now, again, draft second,
a lot of it was the injuries of wide receiver.
Fat.
Yeah.
So take advantage of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the Bills go, the Bills are either going to try to strike somebody with a free agency, and I don't know what their cap situation is like.
Oh, they're in great shape.
And I don't know who they're going to be able to grab, but I suspect the Bills, you're going to see the Bills moving up, and because they've got the tremendous draft capital.
Oh, yeah. They now have two ones, two twos, two threes.
Yeah. So I see them moving up either to the Colts pick. I don't know if I can't imagine. I can't imagine the Browns wanting to move out of those two picks because they can get pretty fat with the one and the four. But I can definitely see them either going after the Giants or going after Indianapolis and moving up to grab a quarterback there. But I definitely think the Bills are moving up.
Yeah, I would think that would be the case. I would agree.
Yeah. So it's, I think you're going to see four quarterbacks going in those first six picks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty clear at this point.
Yeah. And then we'll see if where Lamar Jackson goes.
That's going to be interesting. I don't know if he's going to go in the first round, but we'll see.
I think there's still a chance. Because, yeah, again, what's Arizona going to get out of this mix? Are they going to get a young quarterback or a veteran quarterback?
You know, Arizona's kind of the wild card in all of this.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of sitting on the periphery. You know, they definitely have the need.
Right.
But, you know, what do they have the wherewithal to get?
Mm-hmm.
And I see them, you know.
Well, you figure it's going to be either Case Keenum.
Yeah. I mean,
whoever doesn't get Case Keenum, Denver, or Arizona, then gets A.J. McCarron.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. They're going to get the runner-ups. Because they can't afford to go after Cousins.
No.
All right? So I think they're looking at, you're actually right, either Case Keenum or any of the runner-ups there, maybe McCarron,
mm-hmm.
Depending on who they like. But they can't afford to break the bank, but they definitely need to pick somebody up. And
right.
They don't have the capital to move up and get a young kid.
No.
Unless they're going to, you know, take somebody, you know, say, for example, Kansas City did, and, you know, just move up maybe, you know, five spots or whatever. And grab, you know, if they like Lamar Jackson, for example, take Lamar Jackson, probably will still be available, or Rudolph, or one of the second-tier quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I definitely think Case Keenum may end up there. I think what's going to be interesting is what Denver's going to do.
No question.
Because, you know, I got to believe Elway's going to make a run at Cousins.
But I think we all kind of have the agreement that it's probably between the Jets and Minnesota for Cousins, and he's probably going to go to Minnesota.
I don't understand why you would go to the Jets.
30 million reasons.
As much as I really don't want him to go there, as we've talked about.
Yeah.
But why would, if you had a chance to go to Minnesota or the Jets?
Mm-hmm.
Or Denver,
that's why I think he goes to Minnesota. Yeah.
Why would you go to the Jets?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've made a
$30 million because I think that Minnesota is going to offer less
than the contract.
Yes. Yeah.
Even if you're leaving $3-4 million on the table.
Yeah.
I mean, my God, you know, why would you give up the Broncos? Or Vikings for the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets aren't going to win anything in the next couple of years.
Yeah, true, true.
You know, if Minnesota's got the money, I can see them going there. I think that makes the most sense.
Right. Hey, Jet, thank you for the phone call.
All right, take care, John. Have a good week.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Dre. Dre, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. The sun is out, and a lot of craziness happened yesterday.
Woof.
You know Richard Sherman, those comments that he said, a lot of things that I hit on last week,
mm-hmm.
you know, a little bit of mismanagement, bad drafts of the last few years and this and that, and they all came up to haunt him. You never want to be in a position, John, as an organization to not have any second or third round pick. You never want to put yourself in that hole. That's why the Jeremy Lin thing was kind of funny last year. Which kind of baffled me a little bit when they say he failed the physical and he just got done playing, and then he all of a sudden played the following next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But the Houston Texans doctor said he failed the physical, and that's why they got a better draft choice. I think with a third round pick or whatever instead
right.
of like a fourth or a fifth. That baffles me. They need to address that because that to me was kind of funny and was kind of fake. So I hopefully the players union and all that stuff gets fixed because that's why a little bit why we're in this whole. To a certain degree, all because of that Jeremy Lane. And nobody really wants to hit on that. Nobody really talks about that. But I think that was kind of fake what they did, the Houston Texans and their doctors did when he said he failed that physical.
Mm-hmm. No, because, I mean, Jeremy came back and immediately played.
Yeah, he did. And he played immediately before that, too,
mm-hmm.
a little bit before that, too. And they put him back after he came off an injury. And he played in that game a little bit against the Texans. So it kind of that's what kind of baffles me. And you said Darbrough with the West Coast, it was hard for him to get into the game last year. I understand that because he's a rookie. I understand what you were saying. But then all of a sudden, you know, that caller said, what is Jermaine Kearse? Jermaine Kearse was a veteran who was playing and wasn't getting the ball when he was playing with the Seahawks.
Right.
You know, and that's why it's big. And, you know, he got called a lot of those pick plays, too, towards the end of that year, the last 2 years for the Seahawks, which he was a lot of times he was getting away with it. That Statue of Liberty just standing in the way. Thank you, Terrence. Terrence Stansberry, Statue of Liberty, to a certain extent, just standing in the way of things. But then all of a sudden, when he started pushing guys a little bit, he got called for it. So they need to address a lot of things. But I still say, you say pass rush, I say running back, I say offensive line, I say kicker. Those are key ingredients because pass rush gets tired. You know why they get tired, John? because we're on the field too long.
Right.
And you look back at last year and how many times did the Seahawks have 25 yards, total yards at halftime, 42 total yards at halftime. That addresses too many times that the three and outs are on, the offense has done in the first half and the defense has been on the field way too long. They need to, they don't need a second and nine back. They need a second and six back. And they need to address that, a feature back. And like you said, the two guys that are coming into camp, or Bell, Mr. Bell, just address those two guys. You don't want to have just those two guys coming in.
No.
You need a feature back. Not, I don't know if Stewart's the answer, because he's got 1 foot in playing and 1 foot in retirement, and he could be kicking it with Martha Stewart cooking the appetizers pretty soon.
That's true, but but I think they need to add two. You know, they need to add a veteran, probably a veteran that's been cut, because they can get him cheap and then get one in the draft. But then to get one in the draft, that's why they either need to move down a little bit and get some more draft choices in the second and third round.
Yes, and so instead of a wide receiver like Odarbo, you could have got Kamara in that third round. You'd have to move up a little bit in that third round to get him. Well, wouldn't Kamara have been nice?
Yeah, but see, the problem is that by the fact that they had put the $4 million in Eddie Lacy, you know, they had Thomas Rawls, they had C.J. Procise, and so, they had already kind of filled up the backfield. And so, they wouldn't have had the opportunity to really do that. Again, it's like when you think you address a need and you get that done, and of course, then they got Chris Carson, and then they like Chris Carson. They didn't know, obviously, when they were drafting, they were going to like him as much as they did. I mean, so I don't think they had a chance to really go Kamara.
A Band-Aid, Procise, who's not Procise. You got a Procise who's not Procise. You got Thomas Rawls, who was running like he was Lou Rawls. And you got a weight clause guy who gave him way too much money.
Mm-hmm.
Address the issue. No Band-Aids no more. We don't need a bridge over troubled water. I'm not Simon Garfunkel or, Simon and Garfunkel. They need to address the feature back, offensive line, you just pass rush, and a kicker who cost you 3 games last year. Address it. Address it now, because there is no later. It's 7-9, 6-10 if you don't address it now.
There you go. Good point. Dre, thank you.
Always a pleasure. Enjoy the sun, John.
All right, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, more John Clayton on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Vicki in Renton. Hey, Vicki.
Yeah, hi, how are you doing, Mr. Clayton?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I love listening to your show. I usually get to work around 10 o'clock, and you and G. Scott working together, it just makes my day. I can just plow through my work and with my headsets on listening to you.
I appreciate that.
I have a couple questions.
Yeah.
One was, I wanted to know, is there a possibility of the Seahawks hiring on Cam Chancellor as an assistant coach?
I think there's a chance. I mean, he may want to take, if he's not going to play, he may want to take some time away. But, yeah, there's always a chance, because I think he loves football, and I think he'd be great at that.
Yeah, I think he has the right kind of personality and everything, and is well-respected by the older and some of the younger players.
Right, agreed.
One more thing that I wanted to, I got a chance to meet Marshawn Lynch's younger brother last year around this time at the store, and I know he was just graduating from college then. I wanted to know, is there any interest in him? Do you know anything about his career now? And if
I think I'm a little bit worried about it, because, one, I think he is going to get cut. You know that he's got $1 million bonus coming due on the 18th. And a roster bonus, and I know that John Gruden's already looking at Doug Martin, and I think what's going to happen is that he's going to probably ask Marshawn to take a pay cut, and Marshawn will say no, and as opposed to, and so I think, at that point, he just may retire.
Okay. Any word about his younger brother? Do you know anything about his career? Is he interested in joining the NFL, or?
That I don't know. Don't know anything about the family and all that stuff. All I know is that, Marshawn, is, again, he did about as good as I thought he could last year, was able to get, around that 850-yard mark, a little bit over 800 yards. I thought that was about as good as he could do, but even John Gruden kind of gave him a little bit of a shot, saying, we need to see the whole season, Marshawn Lynch, not the half season.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you. I'll miss Richard and Michael on the field the same as I did Marshawn, but I'll root for them wherever team they join.
Hey, thank you very much, Vicki.
Okay, all the best to you and your wife.
Okay, thanks. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Greg in Olympia. Hey, Greg.
Hi, John. I'm a big Cowboy fan, and I was wondering, what do you see happening with Dez Bryant? If the Cowboys are going to cut him and move on, or do they have any other big plans?
Naturally they're going to try to come to him and ask him for a pay cut, but I think in the end they're just going to have to back down. And the reason they're going to have to back down is they honestly have to replace all three of these guys. Because I know when I was on the field watching the Cowboys-Seahawks game in December last year, the one thing I noticed, there was no separation at the wide receiver position. And I'm talking about all three guys. And so they need to get speed and elusiveness and those type of things. And so now if you let Dez Bryant go, all you have is one less receiver, and he's still your most talented receiver. And you can see what's happened to him. You know, he had two different bouts of problems with a metatarsal injury. You know, that's a foot injury, and you can tell, I think that's taken away some of his speed and explosiveness, and so he's not the same type of receiver. And clearly he's not playing to the level he's being paid. That's clearly a problem. But then if you're Jerry Jones and you're still trying to think about getting back into the playoffs and Super Bowl, if you let him go, you're probably not going to be able to get enough to replace him. Because, I mean, I think over the course of the next couple of years, they've got to replace all those receivers. And so I think you just stay with them, cap problems or no cap problems.
Do you think they'll cut Terrence Williams?
What's that? No, I think what they have to do, I think if they can get a receiver or two in the draft, then they may start to let some of the other guys go. But I think for now, they're just going to stick with Dez Bryant.
What about Jalen Smith? Is he recovering?
He's still not where they hope he would be, because, his playing time a little diminished. I mean, he came on and did a few good things early, but it just didn't hold up. So I don't know. I mean, that was a bad injury he was coming back from on the knee, and so you can see he's still not there yet.
They need a lot of defense still, so I guess I'm hoping they'll go that way in the draft.
What's your thoughts on Richard Sherman going down there?
I think he's past his prime. They don't need somebody that's over the hill and overpaid.
Right now he doesn't have a salary, so whatever he can work out on the open market is what he's going to get.
Yeah, no, I mean, for a bargain price, it would be all right. But, he has to, as long as he comes in at the right price.
Mm-hmm.
Achilles injuries are just so awful, you don't know what he's going to do.
Yeah, that's true. I know Brett Grimes was able to bounce back from one at the age of 29 and still have a pretty decent career. He's still playing.
Hello?
Yeah, no, Brett Grimes. Remember, he had one at the age of 29. He's a cornerback. He's down in Tampa right now. He still held up pretty well despite that Achilles.
Well, how old is Sherman? He's
29 going on 30. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, for the right price, they definitely could use some corners.
Mm-hmm.
So they need another linebacker that's a good tackler, because Sean Lee just gets hurt too much.
Right,
you know?
Right.
I
think they're going to lose Anthony Hitchens to Indianapolis. So.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I think so, because, again, they got their new defensive coordinator was coaching on the staff last year, and you can figure that Indy needs defense, and I think they'll go for a guy that knows that system. Hey, Greg, thank you for the phone call.
Okay, you bet.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to The John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
Our thanks to Matt Nelson for producing and running the show, and our thanks to you, the callers, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Victor in Auburn. Hey, Victor, how are you?
I'm doing well, John. Another great show.
Well, thank you.
Hey, any series this week?
I had yesterday.
Yeah,
may have one in another week or so at the owners' meeting. Monday
night.
Yeah,
you had a lot of action yesterday during the show.
What a great day to be with Kerwin on a day like that. I mean, we started out, and obviously we thought the big topic was going to be what was going on with Richard Sherman being cut, and then all of a sudden it started to morph into so many different trades. Carolina and Philly working a trade, so the Torrey Smith ended up going to the Panthers. Three trades by Cleveland. I mean, it was just wild.
Yeah, not a down moment there.
No.
Nothing needed to be filled. No time needed to be filled there.
No, it was phenomenal. And we wanted to thank John Dorsey for making the afternoon fun.
Yeah. Hey, a couple quick ones. Matt does an excellent job, but you ever going to have Liz Matthews on the air?
I would love to, but it was funny. Did you see that Richard reached out to Liz?
Yeah, I
thought that was pretty funny.
she's definitely knows her stuff. Excellent
yes.
fantasy player also. And then you guys gonna have a fantasy camp this year?
Probably not. Not to my knowledge.
That's horrible. I love seeing you out in events, stuff like that. All right, let's get down to business. John, is Denver going to keep C.J. Anderson, or is he going to redo his contract to save some money?
My guess is he probably won't redo his contract, and if that's going to be the case, he'll be the 1,000-yard back that'll get cut, which is kind of unusual because they wanted to there's only like 9,000-yard backs, and he was one of them, and so now to get cut, which I think it probably could happen. Because it's funny because, I mean, you look at all the backs that are getting like $4 to $6 million a year, they're all getting wiped out. I mean, DeMarco Murray got wiped out. Latavius Murray's going to get wiped out in another week. Doug Martin was let go. Chris Ivory was let go. Marshawn Lynch is probably going to go next week. And so all these backs, Lamar Miller, I know is in trouble in Houston. So a lot of the backs that have been around for a few years are being let go. So it wouldn't surprise me if CJ gets let go. But to me, that would be a mistake. And the reason it makes a mistake is that, hey, listen, now you have to add running back to the shopping list with all the things that are needed for the offense.
Oh yeah, Denver's not been been a long time since I was looking at the season. That's going to be a little bleak, but hopefully they'll turn around soon. They need to commit to CJ. During 2-3 week stretches where they weren't even giving the ball that often, they bring in Charles, which I understand is a good home run hitter, but they weren't consistent with CJ. So I think it hurt the team a lot.
Yeah, I agree. I think something was amiss there, and obviously so much of it still goes to the quarterback. And now what's your thoughts on the quarterback? Because I still think that Kirk Cousins is going to go to Minnesota over the Jets, and so that now puts John Elway in a position. I mean, you got like three shots here. Do you give good money to A.J. McCarron? Do you give good money to Case Keenum, or do you trade for Nick Foles?
Yeah, I don't want to lose any draft picks.
Yeah,
I don't want to lose any draft picks for Foles, but I also don't want them to spend too much money on I don't want any A.J. McCarron, and I don't want them to break the bank spending money on Keenum either, but they need something besides a rookie or what they have in their stable. So I guess Keenum would be the best out of those options.
Yeah, agreed, with A.J. being number two.
Yeah, and then especially with they still have weapons. They just need to get a tight end in there. Hopefully that Jake Butt will be healthy. And Hey, John, you have a great weekend and take care. Okay, bye.
All right, hey, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. I know that the big moves certainly have been wild. And again, today, slow down a little bit. I mean, Danny Shelton from Washington, kind of ironic because it's happening on UW's pro day, that he ends up going now to the New England Patriots. What happened in that trade is that the Patriots gave a third-round pick next year, and then the Browns had to give a fifth-round pick this year to get that trade going. And with the surplus of picks that the Browns have, they're wheeling and dealing like crazy. And so now they get a good pick for next year. New England, of course, now they get a good defensive tackle to put right next to Malcolm Brown, and a guy that doesn't cost a lot. I know he's a first-round pick, but he's not obviously going to get that big free agent type of price. So that was the one move that was made today. Brad Wing, a punter for the New York Giants, he was cut today. As you know, Richard Sherman is visiting the San Francisco 49ers. Interesting move there. He's got about, 7 or 8 teams right now that have already expressed interest in him. Green Bay, of course, is one of them. Surprisingly so far that he hasn't heard from the New England Patriots, because that would be the one team that I thought would be a perfect fit for him. Obviously, if he's not going to be playing here, which he's not, he's going to be looking for a team that can get him to the Super Bowl and with a good quarterback, because obviously he's not going to go to a team with a bad quarterback. That's just not his nature, because he knows the importance of a quarterback, because he knows how in stopping a quarterback, what it can do to an offense and what it can do in being positive to the defense. All right, so that's going to be the one thing. Now, of course, other moves to be made here. The Seahawks have to see what they're going to do with the restricted free agents, how they're going to tender Deion Jordan, which of course is going to be the low tender. Because, again, if somebody would want him, they'd have to give up a first-round pick. Well, that's probably not going to happen. Mike Davis is going to get one, and Justin Coleman. I don't know if they'll put a second-rounder on him. They may have to put a second-rounder on him. That could be possible. But those decisions have to come out. And, of course, I will be back with all the stuff coming up on Monday. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.